Okay, family, if you would take out your message notes, we're going to begin a new very short series called Five Steps to Navigating Loss. And likewise, you who are with us in the live stream, you can download these notes and study right along with us this morning. As you can tell on page one of your notes, I've included the three questions that I've been asking you now for many, many months to consider as we go through our study, and so that you become a better student of the Word and can apply it the way that the Lord would have you as an individual apply it in your life and or for the benefit of somebody you know that you love at work, or at home, or elsewhere. Five steps to navigate in navigating loss. Life is full of losses. If you've been around as long as I have, you're well aware of that. Lots of losses. It is sobering to remember that nothing around us is permanent. Would you say that with me aloud? Nothing around us is permanent. And that's difficult at times. I know it has been for me, and I know for some of you, to receive that and accept that. You don't want to see your spouse move on to heaven. You certainly don't want your kids. So many times I hear from adults that, it is such a shame that the Lord took this particular child when he did. And I find myself struggling with that because if our Lord takes a young one to be with him, do you realize that young one will never have to face some of the things that you have faced, such as being hurt by a man, if you're a woman, and been abused? Your child will never go through that. If the war is raging and our draft system should come back, your son will not have to be drafted and go to war and see the hellishness of that, or even possibly come home from the war damaged in some way. So many of our young people come home from war and they have all their limbs, but they don't have the mind that they had when they left you to go into the military. Nothing around us is permanent. Family, everyone in our church family will go through seasons of loss, just like we go through winter and spring, summer and fall. We will go through the loss of parents. We will go through the loss of a sibling. We may go through the loss of our best friend. We may go through the loss of our jobs. We may lose our health. Our finances might be absorbed in some way you were never planning on. Here are five steps we can share with members of our church family, friends that are outside our church, people at work. Five steps to help us navigate the seasons of loss. The first step is help them to release their grief. Help them. Come alongside. Help them release their grief. Would you say, release their grief with me? Release their grief. Let's be the one that our Lord can send alongside. Kathy and I have both said goodbye to our parents. We both have said goodbye to a brother. We have both said goodbye to friends. She had a boyfriend much before my time, and she had to say goodbye to him, for he lost his life in Vietnam. We need to be the ones that make ourselves available, to come alongside those people who are in the grief that we once went through and came to understand something about ourselves. Looking back at your notes, tragedy always produces strong emotions, sometimes very strong emotions. Loss, anger, fear, depression, worry, and sometimes guilt. Survivors, guilt. The fact is, some people never deal with their feelings, and they end up hurting other people because they chose not to deal with their feelings. They simply pushed them down and pretended that they weren't there. Then they would come to realize 20, 30, 40, 56 years later that they had these feelings that they didn't deal with. Kathy said to me a few years back, "Ron, you're an angry man." And as it worked out, not once but twice, I would meet Christian counselors. I met a man up at one of our denominational, regional pastors' conferences at Forest Home. And remember what Kath said, I went over and introduced myself to this pastor who had a getaway place, he and his wife, up off the coast of Washington on an island. And you go up there for a week or two, and our denomination would pay for it. I didn't go up there, but I introduced myself to this pastor, and he took me off to the side, and we talked for nearly 3 hours. And he identified areas of stress, areas of hurt in my life over that 3 hours. I would then meet Ralph Rico, of whom some of you know. He and his wife would teach us at our couples retreats for many years. And Ralph identified the same areas. Areas that had not been taken care of, such as when I was 10 years old, and my dad and Kelly's dad, but my mom, his first wife, got their divorce. That was still lingering with me and hurt a lot. There was then the death of Kelly's and my brother Don. And my brother Don and I had issues that needed to be worked through. But he went up and died on me. There were still issues that needed to be dealt with regarding Vietnam. To have been a part of some of the greatest relationships with young men my own age and a little older, and to have so many of them die. Created within me an anger and what we call post-traumatic stress, where you re-dream the worst of those experiences with those great guys. He discovered within me that that post-traumatic stress also moved over into my law enforcement career. Kathy would watch me morph from the man that she knew and married to becoming someone who had very little feelings. I might be happy as get out over something that was taking place, but you wouldn't know it because it wouldn't appear on my face. I remember Ben Baer, who was the pastor ahead of me here, and Ben came in and told us about this wonderful financial gift that the church was being given. And I thought that was the greatest thing ever because we were really hurting financially. So he told me and he walked out of my office and then he came back in and he said, "Ron, does that make you feel good?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" I couldn't tell. And there are other areas that Ralph and this other pastor pointed out. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm asking you to be sensitive to the people around you that may be going through things like you have gone through. And you be the one that talks to our Lord and says, "How can I? Would you even want me to insert myself in this person's life? To come alongside and help them. Because you were with me when we went through that." There's a myth that exists that Jesus wants us all to walk around with a smile on our faces, no matter what we are dealing with on the inside. As I said, that's a myth. Jesus taught the exact opposite. He said to us in Matthew's Gospel, in the Beatitudes, chapter 5, verse 4, it should be 5:4. He said, "Blessed are those who grieve. Blessed are those who are in a state of mourning. Blessed are they." Blessed, the term there, makarios, means happy. It means possessing God's favor. You're very happy because you're mourning, you're in grief, for they shall be comforted. That's why we can be happy in the midst of our grief. In the midst of someone dying, we can be happy. Having lost our desired career, we can be happy. They shall be comforted. Who will we be comforted by? We'll be comforted first and foremost by our Heavenly Father. That's what I found when I lost my former career. In those 3 long years of putting life back together again, it was 3 blessed years to be with the Lord. During that time, he just made everything okay because he was comforting me in the midst of that time. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 26, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." It never ceases. Even during those times of mourning, during those times of grief, You lost your job. The doctor told you you've got stage 4 cancer. The steadfast, the loyal love of our Heavenly Father never ceases. We find ourselves in the midst of it. His mercies, along with that steadfast, loyal love, never come to an end. And they're new. They're not just what he gave you weeks or months ago. They're brand new every day. New every morning. Great is his faithfulness to you. He will continue to be faithful to you even if you lose all of your money. Your home is going to be in foreclosure. He is going to be with you in that wonderful sacrificial love as well as being merciful to you in the midst of it. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. He belongs to me and I belong to him. He belongs to you and you belong to him. He loves you very much. There is no greater love than to have your Heavenly Father embrace you. If you had or have a great relationship with your dad, your earthly dad, you know what it's like when your dad comes alongside and he gives you a word of encouragement, or your dad puts his arm around you and gives you that bear hug. And sometimes it's mom who does that because dad isn't around. He's part of your grieving process, possibly. So he says here, I will hope in him. I will hope in this wonderful Heavenly Father we have. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. We know that. Jesus made it clear when he had the Apostle Paul share that with the Roman church, right? He works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The Lord is good to all who wait upon him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of our Lord. He's there. He knows what you want. He's heard your prayers. And however your prayers match up with his plan for your life, things are going to come together in the right way. It may not be Ron's way, but it will come together in the perfect way. When a loved one dies, it's only natural that we will miss that person. I really miss a lot of people, but particularly my mom. And for those of you who still have your moms, you know they're not perfect. And for those of you who still have those moms, love them. Insert your life a little bit more in their lives and enjoy them. Because when they're gone, they are gone until such time as you get to join them again in heaven, hopefully. It's important that instead of rehearsing these feelings in our heads, we begin to deal with them, whatever they may be. It's important. We do this by crying out to the Lord Jesus. I've said more and more and possibly more than enough with regard to your DPE time. This is where we cry out to him. I've gone on my 24-hour prayer retreats in the past and basically spent most of the time in tears before him. before coming home. He wants to be in my life in a very deep and passionate way, as he does yours. So we do this by crying out to him. In Psalm 62, verse 8, you see it there? Let's read this aloud together. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Now look at it again. Circle those three words, at all times. We can read I can read passages of scripture and not be doing what it's asking me to do. Trust in him at all times. In the loss of the job, the loss of a child, the loss of health, trust in him at all times. Oh, people, pour out your heart before him. Don't ignore your DPE. Don't let that become something you heard about, but not something you live in every day of your life. That deep personal experience that comes through that gnosko, that knowing him intimately time. Trust in him at all times. Oh, people, pour out your heart. God is our refuge. He's our fortress. He's that strong tower that we read the psalmist speaking about. He will help us to help others, to release the grief that they're going through if you make yourself available. I am grateful to these two Christian brothers who are pastors and Christian counselors coming alongside and inserting their lives, pouring their lives into mine. Step two, encourage them to receive help from others. And that's as far as I can go. I wasn't watching the time. So, first of all, please make yourself available to enter into people's lives to help them release the grief. And then second of all, we'll talk about next week, encouraging them to receive help from others. Well, isn't that what you just said, Ron? Only in part. There is something more here. In fact, I'll give you this next part as a fill-in. It is human to want to pull away from others when we're hurting. But we need to do just the opposite. It breaks my heart when I know that I've talked with some of you and some that are still at home or some have gone elsewhere, that we talked about what it was that was grieving them, but instead of coming and letting you surround them, you hug them, you make them feel like they're being embraced by the Lord Jesus. They stayed home. They stayed home for weeks and were miserable. Family, the Lord doesn't want you to be miserable. He wants the two of you to be so tight that you can hear him from the word of God speaking into your life and encouraging you and helping you in the midst of this rough patch to be optimistic. He wants to be your eternal hope. He wants to be that hope that you find peace in the midst of your relationship with you, with him. And if you don't have that, you're missing out. Remember, he doesn't allow certain things into your lives that hurt. He doesn't actually bring certain things into your lives that are going to be a downer. But he is working in you to bring you to that place to where you have wonderful, great spiritual maturity that helps you to meet these awful things that Satan and his may want to bring into your life at some point. Just as Job, the Lord let that evil personage bring these awful things into his life. And I can't say that I would have responded like Job. But I can if I grow and I mature. But much more about that next time. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for being right there with us in the midst of our grief. Thank you that you're not off on a mountaintop somewhere, that you're not out in the midst of those 40 billion or more galaxies that you've created. But when we're going through the good times and the worst of times, there you are in our midst. There you are, wanting us to draw near, reaching out to us to come close and to listen to your love letters here in this beautiful Bible that you've created for us. So, Father, encourage my church family. Encourage anyone who is here today and is in a downer. May they sense your presence holding them close. And might they sense in their hearts hearing you say, my daughter, I love you. And may your sons who are hurting today also hear you saying to them, my son, I love you. For I pray these things this morning in your loving son's name, Yeshua, Jesus, amen.